sorry, not Judges, Exodus this morning. Exodus, it's not on the screen, so it's just in our Bible. I'm going to talk to you this morning about overcoming temptation. Overcome temptation. I think it's going to be eye-opening to us. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do amazing things with us. This series has been intense. It's a very intense series. It's intense because the Holy Spirit told me He was going to make it intense and that He was going to deliver us. We have talked about deception. We've talked about lies. We've talked about compromise, which was strong. We have talked, today we're going to talk about temptation. Next week we're going to talk about lust. Everybody say, ouch.
Ouch.
Then we're going to talk about greed. Ouch. And then we're going to talk about fear, and then we're going to close out with overcoming offense. And if you got offended by that, then you know you got a problem, right? So, I don't want to talk about offense. Okay, well, that's why we're talking about it right there, right? So, and it'll be good for us because it's not really about exposing anything except God's deliverance. Amen? And revealing that He's a God that can heal and that He can take everything that we need. I thank God for Adam this morning who's given me plenty of time. This week we had nothing to do but worship and word, and I'm just very excited about those kind of services for us. So this message is far less revelatory than I'm not trying to stimulate you, okay? I want to just simply show you the word, okay? And we're going to let the word do the work this morning.
Amen.
All right, so it's going to be word focused, and what you're going to take home with you is something eye-opening as the Holy Spirit does something with what I and what He has showed me to do, all right? So we're going to dive into Exodus 16. We're going to read several verses there. Verse 4 is where we'll start. And I want to just focus on some things that right off the bat is going to hit you right on your, you know, just right in your heart. So people are people, no matter what generation they were born in, if they were humans, right? And the humans in Moses' day were just like the humans are today. We're all human beings. And so in regard to that, that's why the Bible is so relevant, because God wrote it 6,000 years ago plus, and it's still relevant today because He wrote it about us and to us and for our admonition, meaning if we pay attention to it, it will change our lives. So here we go. He says in verse 4, let's pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for Your word. Thank You for clarity. Thank You, Father, for hearts that are prepared. And for soil, Lord God, that's ready to receive, Lord, the planting, Lord God, of your word. So, Father, just do a work in us. Holy Spirit, touch us. Holy Spirit, open our eyes, open our hearts. And thank You, Lord God, that You teach, the Holy Spirit, You teach more than I teach, and You teach better than I teach. So I ask You to use me this morning to Your glory and to Your honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let's check this out. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, indeed, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain amount every day. Everybody say every day.
Every day.
That is a type of you needing God's presence every morning. That is a type of the Word of God being your sustenance for every day. God is just letting you know this is about what He gave them to eat. And how many of you know you have a spiritual body, and your spirit man needs to eat, right? And so there's so many analogies between the natural body and the spiritual body. And the spiritual body needs to eat the food that God gives us. So He says, go out and gather a certain amount every day. Every day. Every day we need God's presence. Every day we need God's word. Every day we need God's help. Every day we need God's sustenance. Every day we need God's direction. Every day we need God's correction. Believe me, I'm married to Charlotte. I know. Correction is vital, right? And for myself, I'll throw myself in there. Okay, here's what I want to really set my hat. Now watch what he says, I'm going to do it again. The Lord said to Moses, indeed, I will rain bread from heaven for you. That's God's provision. And the people shall go out. They're going to go out, right? That's an action word. They're going to go out and they're going to have to get what God provided. All right? It's a type of, listen, it's a type of you have to work the word. You can't just sit around and without a J-O-B and expect God to pay your bills. Amen. You got to work the word. The word will work for you if you work the word. So God says, I'm providing this. Now you go get it, right? So then he says to them, he says, I want you to get a certain amount. And he said, this amount's going to matter. How many of you know that God is meticulous? And God just tells you, this is how much I want you to have. This is how much I want you to give. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. And then he says, and I'm doing this because I want to test you. Isn't that fun? And gather a certain amount every day that I may test them. Let me say us, okay? That he may test us whether. Big word. It actually means it's a really more of a sentence there in the Greek, but it literally means whether they're going to follow me. I'm going to test them to see if they're going to follow me. And God did that for many people. And how many of you know he's testing us? So in the process of that, he's trying to say, I'm going to set this up for you. He left in another place in Scripture. He left the enemies in the land that the children of Israel were going to go through so that God could test their hearts to see if they would go war. Are you hearing me? So have you ever thought about, and I don't think we do, but have you ever thought about the fact that the test in front of you is to make you better? And the test is God saying, I want to test you whether you will keep me the center. Sometimes he tests you with blessing. Fact is, the greatest test on America is blessing. The greatest test on America is provision, blessing, stuff, goods, provision. That tests us more than anything. That's where our idols come from. That's where idolatry starts in our lives, with God blessing us. Have you ever watched the guy who came into the church, got saved at 27, at 30, got his boat? Right? Got his car, got his boat, got his girl, got his, you know, got it. God just gave him the car, gave him the girl, gave him the house, gave him the boat. And then he started staying home on Sunday to polish the boat. Right? But God gave him everything to see whether, test whether you're going to follow me or whether you're not going to follow me. Let's look at verse 27. And it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found nothing. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments? Now, temptation, what does it mean? It means to prove. It means to scrutinize, to examine through adversity or desire. And it means to test. That's your first slide this morning. To prove, to scrutinize, to examine through adversity or desire. In other words, he's going to examine you through the desires of your own heart. What are you seeking after? We talked about last week. What are we putting our hands to? What are we reaching for more than we are God? Because like I told you, whatever your hand is reaching for, your heart's involved. If there's meth in your hand, if there's porn in your hand, whatever's in your hand is in your heart, because it takes your heart and your brain to move your hand, and this is in agreement with everything that your heart and your brain says. So whatever's in your hand that's more important than God is where God says, I'm going to test you. And in the middle of that, so he says, to test. So it means to prove. And if God knows everything, and he does, and if God does know everything, and he does, why does he test us? Think about that. Why did he test the children of Israel? So they would fail? If God says for us not to tempt him, then he wouldn't tempt us to fail, right? So what does God test us for? He tests us to show our heart to us. He tests us so that he can reveal his ways to us from the condition of our heart. He wants us to know what's inside of us. So he allows tests. And some of those tests are blessings. Some of those tests are maybe the person you always wanted to be with, but you end up making an idol out of that person. Instead of loving her through Jesus, you love Jesus through her or him. These areas are, God will allow those type of things in our life to reveal our heart to us. Will you follow me? A weather test. It's not a weather test, it's a weather test. This test is whether you're going to stay with the Lord, whether you're going to follow him, whether you're going to keep going. Two tests in the Bible. Elisha's trying to get a double portion, and Elijah is trying to push him off. And God told Elisha one thing: you get the double portion if you see him when he leaves. So Elijah's testing him, and God's involved in saying, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go over that river. You don't want to follow me all the way. He's testing him whether he would finish and whether he would fulfill what God wants him to fulfill. So sometimes these tests get in our way. Temptation is broad. Some of us think it's just the next slide. Some of you think just temptation is just that. It's just, I'm tempted, it's an apple, right? Well, and the others of you think it's, the girls think, it's just more than a woman eating an apple and a man looking at a woman, right? Because when we think of temptation, we think of lust for men and chocolate for girls. Right? Or slapping their husband. But anyway, but mainly, you know, I'm eating the apple or chocolate, and it's far deeper than those two things. Sometimes it looks like this. The next slide will help you. See, it looks like this. It's far broader than that. There's just temptation is broad. I'll give you a few. To be noticed, the temptation to be noticed, the temptation to fit in, the temptation to be rude. I know people have that. The temptation to lie. You ever been tempted to lie? You know what the little boy said about a lie? It's an ever-present help in time of trouble. Right? The temptation to exaggerate. The temptation to make yourself look better. Have you ever thought that temptation is a revealer of our heart? The temptation to defend yourself or protect yourself. The temptation to impress others, like we do on Facebook or Instaham. You know what Instaham is, right? So you look like a ham. Click. The temptation to be wanted. The temptation to be critical. The temptation to compare yourself. The temptation to be envious. The temptation to quit. The temptation to over-medicate yourself. Because you think you need some peace, instead of getting that from Jesus, you get it from a bottle or from a pill or from a movie or from another comfort. The temptation to be offended. All these have a root feeding the source of temptation. Maybe it looks like this. Give me the next slide, Judd. Or who's up there, Terry? Maybe temptation is a check engine sign. Maybe it's an indicator. It's an indication of where we are. Let me just go back through the list a minute. The temptation to be noticed goes back to self-worth, how you value how others see you. The temptation to fit in is an identity problem. Check the engine. The temptation to be rude is rooted in self-pride or self-hatred, bitterness, or an unhealed soul. The temptation to lie and exaggerate has to do with your character, your identity, and your self-worth. The temptation to defend yourself is about fear or your image. The temptation to impress others is all about self-worth, self-esteem, value. The temptation to be wanted is a lack of self-love. The temptation to be wanted is a lack of self-love. We should never, boy, it's getting quiet in here. You Presbyterians are quiet this morning. Just smile, it's less painful. Amen. To be wanted is a lack of self-love. So we find, you know, sometimes as Christians we rescue each other, and it's so good that you have a good heart, but discernment and wisdom are greater than these emotions. The person that's down here in agony, and some of you people come up here and put your arm around them and tell you, whisper in their ear, I love you. And that's great, but they don't need love at that moment. They need the Holy Spirit to break something off of their life. They need deliverance That's the most of them are addicted because they've been loved their whole life too much. Somebody has enabled them too long. Are you hearing me? And sometimes we do the social thing, the humanity thing. Listen, every time you come down here to lay hands on somebody doesn't mean you're a Christian. And it doesn't mean you're always doing the right thing. Discernment is vital. Just because someone cries out doesn't mean they don't need to cry. And in church, we have a tendency to try to deliver everybody from a human level rather than let the Holy Spirit do it from a spiritual level. We have to discern what it is the Holy Spirit's doing. Don't just run down there in your humanity. Ask the Holy Spirit, am I supposed to be down there? And if you're supposed to go down there, don't go down there and say something that everybody else says. If you're supposed to go down there and say something, let the Holy Spirit tell you what to say, not your human heart. Because we leave people in deliverance in the church because of our compassion, human compassion, rather than our spiritual discernment. Okay, so the temptation to be critical or judgmental, which speaks about us being self-righteous or our religious attitudes. To compare ourselves means that the temptation to compare ourselves means we have a self-esteem identity problem and we have a lack of God's love. Listen, if everyone in us in this room would get all of our love, satisfaction, and value from God, we would quit worrying about who says hello. We'd quit worrying about who didn't say hello. We'd quit worrying about whether the greeter said hello to me. We wouldn't come here to get our human juices flowing. We'd come here to be full of worship and full of God and being used by God and letting God do in us what it is that he wants to do. Amen. That's good. The temptation to be envious is about our value. The temptation to quit is to give up. The temptation to over-medicate means you need healing. You have a wounded soul. The temptation to be offended means your emotional IQ is low. Temptation is not a sin, it is a sign. The truth of the matter is the Bible says it's not a sin. The Bible says, and I believe that temptation, it's a sign. It often feels like sin, and sin has stages. It's the reality that your soul or the enemy is drawing you and crafting something against you. He's crafting a plan against you and a strategy to draw you away. Now watch this. Temptation always has links. How many of you are readers? Raise your hand. How many of you need to be readers? Raise your hand. Readers are leaders. Readers are feeders. They feed others. Come on, we have to read. But here's if you ever read a blog, and you should, especially mine, but if you read a blog, if you ever read blogs, blogs have links. And if you follow the links, and if the links are tied together, then what happens in the links is the links will take you back to the genesis of why that was written. Are you with me? Temptation has links. It'll take you, if you just examine why you're defensive, why you can't take correction, why you no one can speak into your life, especially your husband or your spouse or the one that's supposed to love you the most, because you are so insecure, because you have not found your value in your Father. So listen to me, temptation has links. It has connections. Some of them go back to mom and dad. Some of us men are connected, our links of insecurity. I'm ruling my house by God because your dad never paid enough attention to you to make you a man. So now you became your own man. And now your temptation to rule your house and rule your wife and be a man and have pride and be arrogant and not raise your hands and not worship and not bow down and not cry is all because you have a link to a temptation. The temptation of, I'm going to prove my dad I'm a man. And that's the connection is this. You have that temptation because it's connected to something in your childhood that's unhealed. And God wants to heal that. But when you get healed, the connections and the temptations, some of these temptations to work in these certain behaviors drop off of you because God heals you and your satisfaction, your peace, your joy, your value, your worth, your self-esteem all comes from Him. And you don't have to have that from anybody else. Self-hatred is a perfect example. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of Christians that hate themselves because they don't feel like that they measure up. And the truth is, you're never going to measure up. So if you're in the position that you're never going to measure up and you always need him, then you'll find that's connected to a link. Why don't you measure up? Because your dad said you wouldn't. My dad literally taught me how to go to a bar, taught me how to play pool. I was playing pool for about $25 a game when I was 16 years old. When I became 18 years, that was back in the 60s. I was just 10 years old, 12 years old, playing pool on high levels. And then they're mad at me because I ended up being a bartender in a bar. Well, there's a connection. They were like, how could you go in a bar? Well, you're the one that took me into the bar that was legal, which was a pool room. And there was cussing, screaming, pinball tables, gambling. And now you want to know why I'm a bartender, right? There's a connection to these things, to these temptations. And God wants to heal you of those things. Some of us have ex-wives and ex-husbands because we're trying to prove something to somebody else. Temptation is a sign that you're connected to a blind spot. So when you're tempted by something and you don't understand why you're tempted by it, you have a blind spot in your life. Charlotte and I talk about these things all the time. Because there's days that I'm more secure than others, and same for her, and we don't allow insecurity to rule in our home. So when I'm defensive and she's like, okay, what's up? And so when you don't know what's up, you don't know what the root is, you might know, well, I'm mad. Well, I didn't take out the trash. Well, yeah. Fox didn't play the right thing. The movie was terrible. That's fruits. There's no connection in that. You got to find the root of the situation. And why do you find yourself migrating back to these situations over and over again? Who's got an iPhone? Give me an iPhone. Or just give me a phone. I know you got an Android or a piece of junk, but anyway, let me say when you put this ready to take pictures, put up the next slide for me, please. I'm just playing about that. I'm an Apple guy, so sorry about that.
Hang on. Piece of junk. Don't get
offended. Yeah, don't get offended, Dad. It's okay. It was a joke, Daddy. Okay. What is it? This is an iPhone, right? Does this thing take pictures? How do you take them? So you have an Apple, you hit these two buttons on the side, and it takes a picture. Told you. But anyway, okay. Fire aim ready. How many of you know that I don't know what's on this phone? I don't have any idea the exposures I just took. Here's what I do know. The phone knows. The phone has the exposures inside. Where am I going? Temptation is an exposure. And sometimes we don't know what's inside and we don't know what's not inside. Meaning, not inside that we need to walk in deliverance. So this phone just took 5 pictures, and I don't know what's on it. God takes pictures of our heart that's inside of me. They become exposed to me when God lets the test come out. And then the temptation is, thank you, this was a nice phone. And so, see how important a phone is? Oh, my God. If it had crashed, what would it have mattered? Really? Well, that matters. Tim said I'd have cried. I said, well, that matters. But right? Okay. So what am I saying? Give me the next slide. So here it is. God uses temptation to bring exposure to the undeveloped picture. So when you're tempted, you need to know why you're tempted. Because there's an exposure in here that God says, all right, I want to develop this picture now that I have of his heart. So he says, let me send this test, whether he'll follow me, whether he'll change, whether he'll respond. And this is the way, and see, sometimes when tests come, we want to blame the devil, right. and most of the time, and a lot of times it is the devil, but it's not always just the devil. And also, whatever God allows in your life, he also knows it was coming. He will also, like the word says, turn these bad things into good. So no matter whether it comes or how it comes, whether he allows the test or sets us up for the test, there's actually a scripture that tells us how to respond to tests that we often fail in our lives. But let's dive into this. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Now let's just dive into this. Temptation is common to all of us. You do understand, ladies, that when the Bible says man, he's talking about all of us. Man in the Bible is humanity because we all came out of God, and then Adam's side, the woman came out of Adam. So when he says man, he's talking about man and woman. Temptation is common to all of us. He's trying to say every one of us in this room will have temptation. Then he goes into something different because he says the temptation is common, but when the enemy has lust in mind, it's specific. So temptation is common, but the lust is specific. Why? Because the enemy knows how to strategize. When the Bible says that he's drawn you away, right? James chapter 1, he's drawn you away. Think about drawn you away. Drawn means drawn, right? It means to pull, but it also means when I see the word drawn, I see the word the enemy just drawing his plans to draw you away. Now, good fishermen, and I'm not one, will tell you that the way you catch the right fish is you use the right bait. Now, I go out. Here's what I do when I go fishing. I take one bait. It's always a spinner bait. That's the only thing I know to do. I throw it out there and reel it in too fast. And if a fish doesn't get on it in 10 seconds or 20, I'm out. But I've seen hairy fish. My father-in-law, who's an avid fisherman. And I'm telling you, he's all in it. With both hands. He's only got one. But anyway, he's all in it. I'm talking about he's changing bait, tying knots, to catching fish, all in it. Because he knows where the fish are, where they hang out, what they do, how they wiggle. And the people that make the bait know what the fish likes. Right? How many of you know there's certain baits, certain fish that like certain colors? I don't know that. I don't want to know, and I'm not going to know. But I can promise you that's true. Yes, it is. And guys like Harry have 43 tackle boxes. And their life savings is in it. Because just like the enemy, creators of bait know that different people like different things. And like the enemy, he knows how to hand weave your test and your temptation. He says it's common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So the enemy has a perfect setup for your setback. He has set the theme, he has set the scheme, and he has set the scene for me and you, and the moment for me and you to either push away from God or to just simply get in the place where we find ourselves, not in a place where we feel comfortable enough to even approach God. Because the truth of the matter is, when we get into these moments, we don't reject God, we just ignore him. And I know a lot of Christians that are ignoring God. And many times it's because of what temptation has overtaken them. And they don't feel worthy. So they still consider themselves believers. They don't come into God's presence or church anymore because this reminds them of their badness and their failure. And instead of, but they're not rejecting God, they're just ignoring Him. And that's what sin will make you do. It'll cause you to ignore God. You'll still believe in Him. You may even be convicted about Him, but you will ignore Him and you will do everything in the world that you can to make sure that you're not reminded of Him, because when you're reminded of Him, it reminds you of you. So the temptation is common, but the lust is specific. Let's think about it for a minute. Let's think about temptation being it's like about the timing of it. David is tempted, the Bible says. The Bible clearly says David is tempted to number Israel in the Old Covenant. He was tempted to number them, and God was serious about him not doing that. A prophet came to him and told him not to do it, but David did it anyway because of one reason, the temptation for him to know as an older man that he was safe. So he was driven by his own desire. The enemy, the enemy was literally pulling the strings. The prophet came and said, don't do it. David did it anyway because of it was connected to something. It was linked to him being a mighty warrior at one time. He could not defend himself anymore. And all of a sudden, David says, I have to know that I'm safe. That kind of temptation is sometimes the timing of temptation. You get in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you're tempted to something. Maybe you and your wife had a little spat, and so you're out there and something is tempting you, or you just go into self-hatred mode of, okay, she did that, I'm going to do this. This is temptation. It's often timing sensitive. And God wants to deliver all of us from that, from those things. So in all of that, it was not good. It was from the devil. It was from the enemy. Another example of that would be how the enemy, you know, he uses our own lust, our own desire. So let me help you with it. It's not God tempting you. God does allow the test, but he does not tempt you. It's not the devil tempting you. The devil entices you, but the Bible says it's your own. You got to own it. This is what I love about the scripture. There's no blame game here. This is God saying, you did it, suck it up, big boy, let's go. Take your own responsibility. Take your own temperature. So, how do Eskimos kill wolves? So here's how the Eskimos kill wolves. If they have too many of them and they would need to get rid of a certain number of them, they take a seal and they get his blood and they dip the knife in the blood and they freeze it. It gets frozen. They bring it out of the freezer or probably just off the ground, and they put it back in into the blood again, and they freeze it again, and then they stick knives in the ground in frozen water. And so the wolves come because they smell the blood. And what they do is they begin licking the blade of the knife. And all of a sudden, they cut their own tongue, but they don't realize it because their tongue is now frozen from licking the blade. And now they taste warm blood, and now they go into psych mode, because all of a sudden, they're psyched about the fact they've got blood, and they keep licking the knife and licking the knife and licking the knife, but they don't realize it's their own blood that they're drinking. And eventually, they will stand there and continue because of instinctual design. They will stand there until they die. How does it happen? It happens because the lust, the desire, the instinct is within, and all of a sudden what's in you now becomes your worst enemy. This is why temptation has to be resisted. And the way that you resist it is the check engine sign is on. And the Holy Spirit's saying, no. You don't have to do that. The Holy Spirit's saying, No, you don't have to defend yourself. No, you don't have. You can take correction. Yes, you can. You do. Your value is in me. You don't have to take offense because you didn't get the promotion. You don't have to quit the job and move down. You can get healed right where you are. This test is whether. Amen. This test is whether you will grow. This test is whether you will change. This test is whether you will keep seeking me. So here's what happens. Let's read James real quick. I've got 5 minutes. I'm good. James, I have had a great time. I thank God for it. I've been able to go at a pace that I like on this kind of sermon. So, James, okay, so he says, we'll finish with 12, but he says in 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt anyone. The Bible's clear. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. So there's temptation is progressional. But it has to have outside elements that will meet your inside desires before it does something what I call marry, conceive, and birth. So watch this. When my agreement and my temptation marry, I sin. When they conceive together, he says, watch, each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust, then when lust has conceived. So unlust, my lust, the enemy's enticement, and my agreement creates the sin of my life. Being tempted by something is not sin. Being tempted by something is a sign that you could fall there if you don't pay attention to the sign. If you pay attention to the sign, this is your way of change. This is your way of God saying, I can protect you. But when the check engine light's going on, the cars now, they're indicators, right? They used to be actually, they used to tell you, the car used to say overheated or whatever. Now it just gives you a light, check the engine. Like, what? Right? But in God's case, when God says, bah, 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 check the engine. He's trying to say, when you're trying to protect yourself, when you're trying to defend yourself, when you're tempted to lie, when you're tempted to tell an untruth, when you're tempted to exaggerate, when you're tempted to fit in. And this is something we fail at all the time. It's like the lady, there's nobody in here with purple hair, is there? But anyway, it's like the lady we see with purple hair. Which I'm not against purple hair, and some people look great in purple hair, but most people don't look good in purple hair, right? Somebody tweet that for me, but anyway. So, you see the girl with purple hair, and she says, look what I did. And you go, yeah, it looks really good. And I'm not saying you should tell her it looks bad. I'm saying there's a temptation there to fit in. It happens all the time. And there's a way around those things. Now, there's some healthy things that are good. There's some healthy things. If some of these things are done from healthy positions, if you're, because the truth of the matter is, check it out, like, right? What do? To ourselves. We tuck this, right? We untuck this, make them bigger. We tattoo these, right? And I won't say what else we do. All to fit in. And that's okay if you're healthy. But if you're not healthy and you're doing all of that for attention, to be wanted, to be noticed, or because your self-value stinks, you're not healthy. And the temptation to do those things because of an unhealthy place, that's why you have to ask yourself the question, why do I want to do that? I want to be noticed. Well, then that's the wrong reason to do it. So temptation is a maintenance. With every temptation, there's a way of escape. Two little words, two little letters, makes a great word. Hashtag N-O. No. A way of escape. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. I'm in the fourth grade. And we have a 90-year-old substitute teacher. And I decide to do something crazy that day. And so I had everybody write down the wrong names. There's 19 people in the classroom at that time in my school, Franklin Elementary School, 3 blocks from my house in Princeton, Indiana, a town of 5,000 people. That's why I left it. Okay? Teacher was great. I wasn't. I had everybody write down fake names. I moved the clock up an hour and a half. And then when he told us we could escape, when he told us that we could leave, when it was like 3 o'clock, 3:03, and I'd moved the clock up an hour and a half, so I knew if we went out in the hall that all the other teachers would know what we were doing. So I just said, hey, so the fire escape was out our room. So I told him, I said, hey, I think his name was Mr. Haskins. I said, Mr. Haskins, we always go out the fire escape on Wednesday. So I get everybody in the classroom. It was a fire escape where you jump in. It was like a slide, like a water slide. Back then, it was like you just do two, phew, land on the ground, right? So everybody in the classroom, we go out. We all go home. Guess what? There was a day of wrath for me, right? But see, I took the way of escape. It was the wrong escape. And sometimes we take the wrong escape. Because God says, I'm going to make a way of escape for you. And that means to say no. It means there's an open door. That means we don't have to fail. It means that God is standing there with us in the middle of our temptation to say, listen, guard your heart. Look at your heart. Because out of your heart's coming an issue of life. I know you're not necessarily sinning right now, but if you want that person, or you want to see that person, or you want that person to see you, or you want to exaggerate, or you want to lie, or you want to make value of yourself, you'll make yourself feel important. Those are things that God's saying, I'm going to show you your heart so I can heal you. This is the test for you. This is the test. So if you like that person, then what you do is you pray over that and get away from that person. If you have lust, you pray over that. If you're always girl gawking, if you're doing those things, you know, bounce your eyes means that's great, but it's not the best tool. Not needing to bounce your eyes is a better tool. Deliverance. God's power flowing in you. You can say, well, Pastor Tom, I'm just a man. No, you're a supernatural being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can have deliverance over anything. Like Allie said, God, if you need peace, God will give it to you. If you need joy, God will give it to you. He'll answer and give you everything that you need for life and godliness. And deliverance is yours and ours. Let's stand up. Here's the promise for you. Raise your hands as I read this over you. I know this has been a little tight. I hope it's been good. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Blessed is the man and woman that endures temptation. For when he is tested, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has proven to those who love him. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. That's all possible because God is able. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to check our sign. Where am I tempted, Lord? Where do I fail, Lord? Where is my temptation connected? What's the link back? Show me the link back to my deliverance, God. Show me the link back to where this all started. If I say this, say, Lord, deliver me. Set me free. Show me my weaknesses. Show me my sin. Show me my failures. And show me how to walk in victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.